Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Father, thank you for this evening. I appreciate so much the opportunity we have to worship you. And I just think back to the blessings of this week. I have been so blessed, God. Thank you, Lord, for what I've seen take place this week. And you are a good God. And I just want everybody to know and have what we have, God. And I know these brothers and sisters of mine feel that way also. So, Lord, bless our efforts tonight, and we just want to make much of Jesus, and thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're in Esther. Now, before you go to Esther 6, I want you to all of us, if we can, go to Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Proverbs 27 and verse 1, this is a powerful verse, and it's fulfilled really and exemplified in the life of Haman, the Old Testament Hitler. You remember, Haman had been invited by Queen Esther to not one banquet, but how many? Two banquets. And so Haman's thinking, oh boy, not only does the queen like me, I'm in good with the king. Listen to Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And Scott and Melinda, I was down here Friday morning, and we were praying, and the water had gotten up on one of these little posts back here, but all that property on the other side of the river was not underwater at that time. And so you never know what tomorrow holds, do you? Is the catfish house still open for business? They're underwater too. Parking lot is. Okay. All right, now that we've got most important things taken care of, you can't get any catfish just right now, but it's coming. But you never know what tomorrow holds. The Word of God tells us don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. Now let's go back to Esther, and I want to bring something. 5 years have passed since Esther chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Through 23. Let me read those for you. Esther 2, verse 21. Now, in those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, you remember those guys? Mutt and Jeff, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther. And Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed. And both of these eunuchs, these doorkeepers, were hanged on a gallows. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. The providential hand of God is all over the book of Esther. God's working and moving in and behind the scenes. He's working in the small things as well as he is in the big things. And so when we come to chapter 6, how do I say that? The king is having some trouble sleeping. He's having some insomnia. And remember, God's at work now, okay? It's been 5 years since the king had heard about what Mordecai, the assassination attempt. Mordecai's the one that uncovered that. It had been written down in the king's book of the Chronicles. And so the king can't sleep now. We're 5 years down the road, and he's tossing and turning, and that's really nothing unusual, especially for someone in a high political position like a king. Have y'all ever noticed, you know, when our presidents get in office, they look so nice and fresh and young, and then 4 to 8 years later, when they come out of office, what do they look like? Whoo, they look about 25 years older, don't they? Do you know why that is? stress and they get very little sleep. Our presidents don't get much sleep. They have to catnap on the Air Force One and wherever they can get a chance to sleep. But they don't. That's why they look so haggardly when they get out of office. They get to be an old man while they're in office. And so the king's obviously worried about something. We're fixing to read that in just a moment. But I think it's because God is speaking to this old king, this old pagan king. God's moving in his life. He's working behind the scenes on behalf of his people. And you remember, what was the decree that the king had signed and Haman had deceived the king? And remember the decree, what's going to happen to all the Jews? They're going to be exterminated. They're going to be wiped out on the last day of the year on Christmas. And that's what happens. You know, when you think about, what do y'all do when you're tossing and turning during the night? When you can't sleep, what do you do? Do what? An audio Bible. Thank God somebody didn't say, I get up and watch Jerry Springer. You know, that's a good time. Usually when you can't sleep, a lot of the time that's because God's trying to, I don't know how many times Dwight's told me God was speaking to me during the night and woke me up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. When you find yourself like that, get up, get you a Bible, and get on your knees and begin to pray and read the Scriptures because God's moving and He's wanting to talk. Now, I want you to look and see before we dive into Esther 6. We're going to get there, I promise. I sure am glad I said yes. God woke you up at 3 o'clock and told you that you were to come down here and help us with the music. And you were doing that 35 years ago out at Spring Creek. That was Kevin, all right. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, glory. Listen to what Psalm 121 says. This is powerful scripture too. Psalm 121 verses 3 and 4. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So it just may be that while you can't sleep, God's awake and He's trying to speak to you. And so God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always at work. Behind the scenes, God is working out His plan and His purpose and His providence on our behalf. He's working day and night, night and day. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? Ooh, Laurel. Mm. And so we've done enough homework here. Let's get into Esther chapter 6. Now, first thing I see here is there's a determination made in the nighttime. A determination that's made in the nighttime. That night, the king could not sleep. So one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king. You know, all of this stuff that happened with Mordecai 5 years before had been written down in the book of the Chronicles of the king. And for some reason or other, the king is up and he can't wait. And so he wants to read about himself. And so he says, bring the book to me. And so they bring the book to him, verse 2. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers, who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Then the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. And so the king wants to read. He can't sleep, and so he wants to read about the experiences of his life. And, you know, sometimes, y'all, it's the little things that change the course of your life. Are y'all with me on that? Sometimes it's like a little dream, and a little small voice at 3 o'clock in the morning. It happened for me at the Briar Patch restaurant many years ago. I went down to Nacho Night and found my future bride. It's the small things that sometimes, I'm so glad to see y'all smile. Y'all look so good when you smile. And so the night that the king began to read this book, his life took a turn. Okay? I mentioned that 5 years beforehand what Mordecai had done. Remember, he told Queen Esther what was going on. And so the word got back to the king that the assassination attempt on his life was foiled. And those two men, the two doorkeepers, the two eunuchs, the king's, they were hung on a gallows. And so Mordecai was responsible for saving the king's life. And so he's got this book out now, the king does, and he's reading about what Mordecai had done for him and how he'd saved his life. And he'd read all this in a book. And you know what amazes me? Did you know that it was recorded in a book how a Savior came from glory and saved a wretch like me? And here I am reading words out of that same book tonight. You see how God works? I mean, He's amazing what He does. And so the providence of God is always at work. The king had overlooked Mordecai, but guess who didn't? That's right, God hadn't overlooked Mordecai. And I wanted to read another psalm to you. I don't know who these verses are for tonight, but maybe they're for me as much as they're for anybody else. But Psalm 31 and verse 15 says this. Man, this is powerful. My times are in your hand. Psalm 31, 15. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Let me tell you something, folks. We are in the great, big, mighty hands of our God tonight. And nothing happens to us without it first passing through His hand. In other words, if something happens in your life, God either caused it to happen or allowed it to happen. And so His will, His providence is being worked out in our life. God never forgets. He never forsakes us. He always remembers us. And so the king all of a sudden sits straight up in the bed and says, has anybody done anything for this man? 5 years ago this happened. And all of a sudden God wakes the king up at just the right time for such a time as this. And he asked the question, what's been done for this man that saved my life? Has he been rewarded? Has anybody done anything for him? And I think about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And I want to tell you, whatever I can do for Him pales in comparison to what He's done for me. What has God done for you? Can you do enough for Him? Obviously you can't. And so the greatest thing you can do for Jesus tonight, if you haven't done so, and I think you all have, but the greatest thing you can do for Jesus is just give Him your life. Just give Him your heart. Give Him what the only thing He may not have. Just give Him yourself. Give everything that you are to everything that He is, and whoo, it'll be a tremendous blessing for you. And so we see a determination that's made in the nighttime here. But now let's move on to the morning time. And there's a humiliation that now takes place. Our buddy Haman's in trouble. And he doesn't even know it. Verse 4. So the king said, who's that in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Haman's been up all night supervising and overseeing the building of the gallows. And who was he going to have hanged on the gallows? Mordecai. Remember why? Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him, you remember? And wouldn't pray to him, wouldn't worship him, wouldn't all that. And so all night long, Haman's been supervising the building of the gallows. And now he's at the palace bright and early. He wants to go ahead and get Mordecai hung, and he wants to speak to the king before anyone else does that morning. And let me just make a little application right here. It is so important for us to speak to our King of Kings first thing in the morning before we speak to somebody else. You know, if I don't spend some time with the Lord in the mornings, before I leave, I've already kicked the cat, and we don't even have a cat. I've gotten into it with my wife. I'm upset with my son. I mean, it is so important to spend time with the King first thing in the morning. Are y'all with me? And if you don't have a time like that early in the morning, go to bed 20 minutes earlier and get up 20 minutes early and spend some good, solid, fresh time with the King of Kings. We should all start the day with God in prayer. Isn't that amazing how often prayer keeps coming around here? Isn't it? You think God's trying to tell us something? Whew. And by the way, there's someone out there who does not want you to talk to the King. Do you know what his name is? That's right. And so, because the devil obviously knows that if you talk to the King and he hears your prayer, something good's about to happen, and he doesn't want anything good to happen. And so the King had made up his mind to honor Mordecai and his great deed, and Haman shows up at the palace. Now, I want to tell you, Haman is an arrogant rascal. He is filled with pride, and he is the opposite of humility. Look at verse 5. The king's servant said to him, "Haman is there, standing in the court." And the king said, "Let him come on in." And so Haman came in, and the king asked him, "What shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "Whom would the king delight to honor more than me?" I mean, this guy really, he is the cat's meow, isn't he? He takes the cake. He is so filled with self. He's an arrogant man. Proverbs 18:12 reveals that the way to honor begins with humility. You see, I believe personally, Haman had it in his heart to wear the king's crown, to wear the king's robe, and to ride the king's horse. I believe Haman saw himself as doing that in a heartbeat. So let's read on. And so Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought, which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest or crown placed on his head. Then let this robe and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. And then parade him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.'" You'd have to be crazy to write this stuff up, wouldn't you? But I mean, he's thinking about himself. Oh, the king, I've got to be the one that he wants to honor. I mean, I've got to be the one that he wants to brag on. Nobody else can be this. And so he began, "Well, king, here's what we ought to do to honor this guy. We ought to give him a royal robe and then announce to the kingdom who this guy is and put him on your horse and put a crown on his head and lead him, just have one of these Macy Day parades through the streets and let everybody hail him and honor him as the king's man." And so he's thinking that he's talking here about himself. But Haman finds out, look at verse 10. "Then the king said to Haman, 'Hurry!'" In other words, great idea. "Take the robe and the horse, as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai the Jew, who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken." What do you think his reaction was when he said, "Go get Mordecai, he's the man"? Oh my. You know. And notice, y'all, it wasn't God that made the king honor Mordecai. It was the king's choice. He had a choice. Mordecai would be crowned. And Can you imagine how it must have humiliated Haman? Look at verse 11. It gets worse for old Haman. Verse 11. So Haman took the robe and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city square and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." He has made his bed and now he's having to lie in it. Right? Yeah, he's about to just choke to death. And he had to have been humiliated. And it must have shamed him. What do you think it was like for him to go down to the king's stable and find the king's horse and put Mordecai up on that horse and then lead him around the city in this great parade honoring Mordecai? Think what it must have done to his pride as he led Mordecai through the city streets. Oh my. I mean, God has a way. You know, does any of y'all remember? I think I quoted this verse for y'all last time. Do any of y'all remember? "Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay." God is the one that has a way of getting even with folks that have done his people wrong. Are you with me? Okay, and so they're walking through the city streets of Shushan. Here's Mordecai with the crown on. He's got the royal robe on, and he's on the king's horse, and everybody's saying, "Hail to Mordecai!" And poor old Haman's having to lead the horse. Let justice roll down like waters. You remember that verse out of Amos? I think I told y'all, the Calhampton Standard Version is, "The chickens always come home to roost." Be sure your sin will always find you out. That was last week's message. And so we see humiliation in the morning time. And now we've got something going on in the daytime, a prediction in the daytime. Look at verse 12. All right. "Afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning and with his head covered." I mean, bless his heart, he's had more than a man can stand that day, right? And so he heads home with, he's in mourning, mourning. Now, remember in chapter 5, what's he doing? He was strutting around like a peacock in full color. And now he comes home lower than a snake's belly. And you remember that jewel of a wife that he had? Remember her? She was her idea to build the gallows. Remember? Oh, let's kill him. Well, look what her advice, look what she says. "Afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning and with his head covered. When Haman told his wife, Zeresh, and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, 'If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him.' And while they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared." And so basically, his sweet wife said, "Honey pie, you're a dead man." And you know what? She's right. She predicts judgment for her husband. Did y'all know that God has put a curse on those people and those countries that have cursed Israel? Don't forget that. Anyone who is working against God's old chosen people and is anything that people are doing wrong towards Israel, I mean, they're working against God. Don't ever forget that. And on the other hand, God is a blessing to any nation that blesses Israel. I saw a picture on Facebook. A couple of our friends were out in front of the Jewish building where President Trump has a a plaque. And we saw sham. Remember, we saw signs around town that said, Trump's going to make Israel great again, you know. But any nation that is a blessing to Israel, God's going to bless that nation. I think that's one of the reasons God's been so good to America. And any nation that curses, well, anyways, it's coming to fruition for old Haman. What did he want to do? He wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. And so he is under a curse. And about that time, there's a knock at the door. The king's eunuchs, the king's doorkeepers, the servants, are at Haman's house to take him to the banquet. This cat's on the way to judgment. And I think he knows it. And so our drama unfolds in this chapter at night and closes in the day. Have y'all ever heard the old saying that says, today is the first day of the rest of your life? Yeah. Well, for Haman, this would be the last day of his life. How many of you all how many of y'all know Zook Parker? And he's got a son-in-law by the name of Randy Stone. Any of y'all ever met Randy? Yeah. Well, Randy's got two brothers. And if you ever get an opportunity to hear an old tape or a recording of the Stone brothers at Kitten Parker's funeral, mercy, the Stone brothers almost put on a concert in honor of Kitten there at First Baptist. And the Stone brothers are just so gifted musically and so talented. But Randy has an older brother by the name of Rodney. And Rodney Stone used to be the minister of music down at First Baptist Jacksonville. And one night, Rodney Stone and his pastor, Jerry Vines, were out visiting. And Rodney was witnessing to this couple in their home. And the husband of this couple was lost. And so Rodney led him to the Lord that night and shared the plan of salvation with him. And right there in his living room floor. And this couple stood up. And immediately the man who had just prayed to receive Christ fell dead in his living room floor. You do not ever know what's going to happen next. But I want to tell you who does. God does. And so that's why it's so important. You don't know when your last day on earth is going to be. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, it's not God's will that any might perish. Today could be my last day. And it could be your greatest day or your worst day. For Haman, this would be his worst day. And you know, as I think about the General Jackson and all these lost people that we live with, and I think about our city and our community and our town, the devil is having a field day. And our king has told us to go and make disciples. And while I think evangelistic events like the General Jackson are wonderful, God-ordained events, you will never be able to beat a one-on-one witnessing encounter between you and another person. And it may be this week that God's going to use you to bring someone else to Christ. If you will just open your eyes and realize that God wants to use you, and He's working behind the scenes, because it's not His will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance. God's desire is for everyone to repent and by faith look at His Son and what He did for them and receive Jesus as Lord. That's God's will. And He's working behind the scenes. I love this. Johnny Hunt is now working for our North American Mission Board. And they've got a new, I don't want to call it a program, but it's not a witnessing program, but they're calling it, Who is Your One? Who's Your One? Because they don't want you to focus on all these lost numbers. They just want you to focus on one. Just one. Who are you focused on tonight? Who's the most lost person in your family? Who's the most lost person that you work with? Who's the most lost person in your neighborhood? Who is your one? Who is your one? God is working tonight. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's working in our lives for such a time as this. Isn't chapter 6 marvelous? Isn't it wonderful? And I don't know who God's speaking here to tonight, but His Word is true. And I don't know how you all want to finish. I know how I want to finish. I want to finish well. I want to finish well. And when God, and Glenn Kennedy reminded me this morning, you know, he said, "Cal, I was so glad to hear you say this morning." I said, "What did I say?" He said, "You not only said that Enoch walked with God, but you said that Enoch pleased God." And our walk with God ought to be pleasing to God. And when He comes for us, He'll be pleased and He'll recognize who we are. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. I appreciate, I don't know what You want to do with this message, Lord, but it seems like every Sunday night, you're moving and You're ministering and You're touching us with different truths, and there's people here that are on our heart. There's people here that are on our mind. And God, we just have to trust that You're working behind the scenes right now so that someone within our circle of influence might come to Christ. Who is our one? Who do we want to see come to Jesus? Who is our one? God, would You make that one turn into two, and that two turn into 10, and that 10 turn into 100, and that 100 turn into 1,000, and that 100 turn into thousands and thousands, that Clarksville might come to Christ. Help us, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.